bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here back on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. It is Friday, December 6th. We are in the Advent season, coming up on a beautiful Christmas season. And my friends, let me just say God bless you this morning, and I wish you the very, very best Christmas that you ever had. May your family be blessed with the love of God, peace of God, and may the Lord touch you, family, in just beautiful ways this Christmas season. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And my friends, in the show Finding God in Prison, as you know, we are focused on inmate reentry and success within it. And so I just wanted to let you know that the WINGS program has been doing very well. We have a guest coming on the show, should be calling in this morning, Shaquille, who actually was just released. He's been discharged. He's a graduate of the WINGS program, and he was with me for 10 weeks and graduated over at CFCF. Also, his nephew was with us at Drexel University several years ago. So we'll be talking with him on our show today. And we'll also be highlighting some of the successes we've had in the WINGS program. Namely, this past November, we had a beautiful class of graduates come through the WINGS program. And Bill Monick and I really did a nice job of helping the men to get through the WINGS program, again, which is a 50-hour, 10-week, 20-session program. And we've had many men come through, over 1,600 men in the past 8.5 years over at CFCF. And, you know, we've been doing this now for 20-somewhat years. Actually, the WINGS program began in 1993, so this month we begin our 27th year. And remember, our first presentation was at Alney Elementary School and then Our Lady of Calvary in Northeast Philadelphia, so under Sister Mildred's supervision. But what a blessing to be here 27 years later and still moving forward in the WINGS program. And so we did well with our recent class who graduated, and we had a lot of great feedback from our family members as well. And our next class upcoming at CFCF begins on Monday, December 16th. We'll have 30 new men who will be in training for 10 weeks and basically working on preparing for discharge. Helping the men to make practical changes in the way they think is one of the great objectives of the WINGS program. So we'll be focusing on that, Bill Monick and I, and we will continue to expand the program this year as we include more emphasis on work and transitional work in the trades, the plumbing, electrical, HVAC, roofing, siding, painting, and things that really help men to find work very quickly. So we'll be focusing on that this season, and I look forward to a next graduation, which will be in early March. And with Bill's help, really, you know, under the guidance of divine providence, we will be there, and we will be blessed to, you know, receive, 30 new men on the 16th of December, and we are very, very happy to be there as really an extension of the Lord himself, helping to bring the love of God, the peace of God, and the word of God into the hearts and minds of these men. And you know, my friends, the men themselves are very, very hungry for the word of God, which is so important. And so when we deliver it, we try to do it in a way that is enthusiastic. And it is, you know, full of zeal and enthusiasm and helping the men to find hope and vision for the future. very, very important in the WINGS program to get men basically out of depression, which kind of comes along with being incarcerated or being, you know, under addiction. And this is very, very, important, and it's a primary objective to help to get rid of that depression, which can be mild, moderate, or severe, and to help men to find hope and vision for the future, to see, help them to see that the cup is half full and not half empty. And so we're focusing on that constantly as we begin to work with our men, in multiple ways over the 50 hours, 10 weeks, and 20 sessions. We have many topics of discussion. So we will be talking more about that. Now, today's show, my friends, is dedicated to our Blessed Mother Mary, as this Sunday is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, a very powerful thing. And we just pray that our Blessed Mother will always be with us, along with our Lord for sure, to help us to do what the Lord is telling us to do and to line up our men with what he says do and not to do. Very, very important. And so the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception celebrates the solemn celebration of belief in the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary. It is universally celebrated on December 8th, 9 months before the Feast of the Nativity of Mary, which is celebrated on September 8th. The Immaculate Conception is one of the most important Marian feasts in the liturgical calendar of the Roman Catholic Church and is celebrated worldwide. By pontifical designation and decree, it is the patronal feast day of Argentina, Brazil, Korea, Nicaragua, Paraguay, Philippines, Spain, the United States, Uruguay, and Italy. By royal decree, it is also designated as the patroness of Portugal. It is celebrated by the Roman Catholic Church as well as a few other closely related Protestant Christian churches, but not by the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Oriental Orthodox Church, and the Church of the East. Since 1953, the Pope, in his capacity as Bishop of Rome, visits the Column of the Immaculate Conception in Piazza di Spagna to offer expiatory prayers commemorating the solemn event. So, my friends, again, the feast day of the Immaculate Conception is coming up in just 2 days. And with that, we dedicate our show today to our Blessed Mother Mary, who we love so much and who has done really so much for our faith. And that's what we're going to be talking today later on in our show. We're going to be highlighting truly the announcement of the birth of Jesus, which is very, very critical. We'll also be talking about the birth of Jesus himself and the creation of our Holy Family coming from the Gospel of Luke. So I look forward to sharing those readings with you and commentary, which are very, very important. And as we are in the Advent season, we are preparing for Christmas. And one of the things we always do is prepare for Christmas caroling. So this Saturday, December 7th, 2019, we will be singing at the Rittenhouse Village at Floraldale at 600 Township Long Road in Yardley, Pennsylvania. And we will be there with our friends and family. And joining us will be some of the children, possibly from St. Ignatius School in Yardley. And that'll be from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Again, that's the Rittenhouse Village at Floraldale, 600 Township Line Road in Yardley, PA. So if you have any questions about that, please give us a call at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570, and we'll get you more information. But we invite you now to join us in that beautiful display of camaraderie and friendship and love of God for the people over at the Rittenhouse residence. And we've been there, my friends, over 25 years, each and every year, singing and bringing, you know, chocolates and candy, and mostly bringing the Christmas season, the peace of God, the love of God into the hearts and minds of our residents. And I would ask you now, my friends, to prepare yourself because we have our guest, Shaquille, will be coming on the line shortly. And Shaquille, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. I'm great.
Good. It's great to hear from you. It's been a while, and appreciate you taking the time to join us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. And, you know, Shaq was with us at CFCF, where he attended and participated and graduated from the WINGS program. So, Shaq, if you can, talk a little bit about how we met and some of the things you received from the WINGS program itself, if you.
Yeah, sure. First, I'd like to say it's a privilege, you know, to participate in this program. First off, you know, I initially, you know, had a thought process of the streets was my way out of the streets. You know, I believe that, you know, getting into the streets was my way out of poverty. And that wrong way of thinking led me to an addiction to the streets itself. And I ended up being consumed in that addiction. So it wasn't about getting out anymore. And that's what led me to CFCF. And I believe that, you know, your program helped me to understand that there was an alternative to what I was doing, that there was another way. And one of the main things I got from your program was my priority. I did not have my priorities in order whatsoever. And you helped me, you know, to redefine what it is to, you know, be a man, because I never really knew. You know, I was still in my transition. And your program really helped, you know, open my eyes to see things in a different way. I honestly believe that the way we think dictates our course in life. And my thinking was very, very jacked up. And you helped me to, you know, just see life in from a different perspective, you know. But in order for me to do that, I had to be open-minded to ideas or thought patterns that were contrary to the ones I initially had, you know. And because of my open-mindedness, that's what allowed me to receive what you had through the WINGS program.
And that's great. Shaq, I want to just say again, it's great to hear from you. We go back, you know, a number of years at CFCF, and the fact that you, you know, highlight, you know, some of those, you know, important things, which one of the fundamentals is getting your priorities straight, and you mentioned that here on the air for our listeners, because that is key to success in reentry. Without priorities being straight, we know we can regress and you know, violation with no question. And so and that's awesome, and change your way of thinking, you know. So that's a beautiful thing to share with our listeners, because we have many men out there who are truly, you know, working hard to stay clean and sober and to stay truly free of violation of probation. But now we met at CFCF, and how old are you, Shaq?
I'm 27. I'll be 28 on the 13th of this month.
Okay, let me say happy birthday. I'll be the first one. Happy birthday, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, so you're 27, you're going to be 28. And where do you see yourself 1 year from today?
1 year from today, I see myself with my real estate license. While I was incarcerated, I started to invest in real estate while I was locked up. There's a passage in the Bible, I believe it's in Jeremiah, when Nebuchadnezzar took God's people into captivity to Babylon, and God sent Prophet Jeremiah to those people and told them, even though you're in captivity, I'm paraphrasing there, but even though you're in captivity, plant ye gardens and build ye houses. So that was a revelation to me that even though I'm in these trying times, even though, you know, I'm limited to resources and I'm stuck in this place, I can still be productive. Like, don't lose hope, don't lose faith. You know, nothing is too hard to accomplish when you have the Almighty, you know, on your side. And I really wanted to come on the station and and speak to you, because I honestly believe that, you know, I believe some people have a misconception of people who's incarcerated, and I believe it's just a faulty thought pattern that we have, that if we could just think in a different light, you know, our criminal activities or our, you know, how can I say, our way of doing things could easily change. It just takes for, you know, somebody like you or, you know, other people to just want to, you know, help the men evolve mentally. That's really all it was about. Once I got in your program and you taught me the fundamentals, like, I don't even look at life the same no more, all because you invested the time into me as well as others to just elevate my way of thinking. And that's really all it takes. Like, we're not, you know, bad or, you know, dangerous people. We just have a faulty way of thinking, you know, because it's a known fact that a faulty way of thinking, you know, like our problem is that when you first come in contact with crime, it makes you feel uncomfortable. You don't like it. Like, it makes you want to do something about it. But after being involved in an environment where that's prevalent, then you become accustomed to it and you endure it. But after a longer period of time being in contact with that environment, then you embrace it and you become influenced by it. You know, so it's just, you know, like, that's the areas in the inner city that's prevalent in our area. So it's like we become influenced by the thing which we see every day. And it's not necessarily, I didn't want that life for myself, but subconsciously, you receive certain messages and it becomes who you are. So, you know, some people it's harder to overcome than others, but I honestly believe that, you know, it can be done.
Absolutely. Well said, Jack. Well said. And you definitely, you know, touched on a very important point that, you know, there is a lot of changing in men that takes place inside. Hence, we have the program today, Finding God in Prison. And would you say that while you were inside, you had an increase in faith or a, you know, just...
Yes, most definitely. I had a massive increase in faith. You know, I never really got to know him intimately for myself. I knew of God, but I didn't know him intimately like I do now. And that time to really sit and, you know, that time of isolation helped me develop, you know, myself. I figured out who I was as a man in Christ while I was in jail. Because when you're in everyday life and hustling and bustling, taking care of your kids, paying bills, going to work, you rarely have time for self-growth and for self-development. So in that environment, I chose to make a decision that I wasn't going to allow this time to go to waste. And I used that time as if it was college for me to evolve, you know. And so I was definitely, like I said, through faith, I was able to buy my first rental property while I was behind bars. And I didn't use any of my own finances. And that was because I believed in it. I prayed on it, I fasted on it, I tithed on it, and I knew that, okay, it's not in the physical yet, but God is not limited by time. So as far as he's concerned, I told myself, I already have what I prayed for. It didn't manifest itself yet. So I would say I greatly increased in my faith in the Lord through that adversity.
That's wonderful. That's great. And, you know, we had the chance of really getting to know each other in different ways. And because you do care about your family, you actually put me in touch with your nephew who attended Wings on the Outside at Drexel University. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. My nephew at that time, you know, he was starting to become, you know, like I said, the process of, you know, first you make you feel uncomfortable, then you are accustomed to it, then you embrace it. He was coming into the embracing stage of that process. And I got him in touch with you immediately because I knew that even though he might not receive it in that moment, just what you was going to say to him was going to take hold of him later on on down the line. Because, you know, at that time, he didn't receive it as, you know, he wasn't as receptive to it then. But I just seen him yesterday. He's working. You know, he's taking care of his responsibilities. Me and him, I'm about to get him his license. He just put in for his permit. You know, so I honestly believe what you did or what you said to him, even though he didn't receive it then, it subconsciously, it was embedded in him. You see what I'm saying? And I believe because he don't even hang out with those guys. He used to hang out with his mom. And, you know, it's very, I'm very happy that I was, that you had something on the streets as well. And, you know, to be there for my nephew in that time, in that time in his life.
I appreciate that. And let me just, for our listeners out there, your nephew was about 15 when he joined the Wings program. And he only was able to do that because he had his mom and your, and who's your sister, and your mom with us, which I met many times. They came actually and sat through our sessions. And even during the holiday season several years ago, we had quite a few people there. But, and you know, at the time he didn't embrace the message. And we had men who were discharged, at least 8 of them one day with him. And still, he was reluctant to embrace the message, to live it out. And he did what he wanted to do. But today, he's taken responsibility for himself, and he is really more of a productive young man. How old is he now?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure he's like 19 now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, he's pretty about 19 years old. So that was about 4 years ago. And
right.
While we're on the air, Jack, I just want to remind you to say hello to your sister and your mom. And
okay.
Wonderful people had a chance to really interact with. And your mom really stayed in touch with me from time to time over the telephone
right.
for several years. And so, you know, we have a history here. And it's an amazing thing because it evolved from our relationship ourselves at CFCF. In the Wings program, which is a 10-week program in which we help you yourself to move forward. And, you know, just by giving us this feedback today, it's encouraging to me because we're now in our 27th year, Shaq, and you're 27 years old.
Right.
Believe it
wow.
or not, the Wings program was born in 1993. So, you know, it's a long time ago, but we look forward to the next 27 years as well. 1 year at a time, God willing. By the grace and mercy of God, we will be here, you know, for helping others in different ways with our inmate reentry work. But, you know, it's just a great opportunity to reminisce, so to speak, about where we've been, where we're at, and where we're going. You know, and I really applaud you for making the change, the transition, and most of all for embracing your faith and to start really lining up, as we all have to do, with what God says to do and not to do.
Amen, amen. Yeah, I mean, listen, you encouraged me to want to, you know, not just, you know, be come to church and just do it on Sunday, but I really want to get back any way possible. So, you know, you can just let me know wherever you may need me to facilitate or, you know, help in any way. Just let me know, you know, and I'm making sure that I'm bringing my nephew along with me. You know, somebody has to shape and mold these young minds. Like, my agenda really right now is a lot of these young boys in the inner city community, I have to be competition for the drug dealers that wants to influence them to go the opposite direction. So I'm in competition with the street thugs and the drug dealers that wants to influence these young people to pick up drugs and pick up stuff like that to cause harm. So, you know, I'm literally, you know, trying to combat what they have to come up against, the same thing I have to come up against. You know, it's a challenge, but I know I'm not doing it alone. I have the Almighty on my side, so I'm up for it.
Well, that's great, Jack, because, you know, it hasn't changed in the last 50 years. When I was a kid growing up in New York City, things were the same. There were the guys on the corner who ran the neighborhood, And the attraction, the draw was, you know, the financial gain and doing favors. And, you know, you either got involved or you avoided it and try to build your education and career. And a lot of those guys never made it, you know, past 18. And many went to prison, but many actually, you know, have been, you know, taken out through various ways. But, you know, so you and I stand together strong in helping to oppose that entity out there who's trying to draw the youth in. And that's where Wings come in. Now, are you on probation?
Yeah, I'm on parole at the moment. I have 8 years to walk off, but that's going to be a cakewalk for me because I'm following the law of God. Therefore, law of man is irrelevant. You know, as long as I walk in my life and walk in faith, then the law of man can't come up against me.
Right. Well, that's wonderful. So, you know, whether you're on parole or not, you still have the opportunity to do right and wrong. Make sense?
Exactly.
And so your first platform I'm giving you today on the radio, which goes out to many counties, there are many people listening to this program, and it will air several more times this month, by the way. We will make an impact on some of the people listening, but I will give you other platforms to engage in and to make an impact on the youth, specifically people who are teenagers and young adults, because, you know, you're doing it right. And it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. And I know where you're going because we have a history and I've been tracking you for at least 4 years. And I like everything, you know, that's happening right now. So I think we're going to have many opportunities to work together on the outside. And when you're off parole, on the inside, if you're open to that, when you get off parole, because you really can't be
into the county now through the ministries.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and it's so important for me because, you know, it's a possibility that I could have spent the rest of my life in jail. And with my mindset, with the way I see life, that would have been tragic because I could produce and provide so much good to my community as well as others. And there's so many men like me who just had a faulty thought process who think differently now, as I do, and they don't have the opportunity to come back and to benefit their community. That's why, you know, we have to get them young because one mistake could land you in a world of trouble, and you might not think that way no more. You might be totally reformed but can't come out. And it's sad that we have so many good men behind these walls that want to do good for the community, that want to help, but they just did one thing out of impulse to sort of force you through your thinking, and they can never come home. And it's so sad. That's why I'm so determined to do this because I stand with these men who do, you know, and it's tough, man. It's really tough.
Yeah, let me jump in and support you on that. We have many men who have life sentences in the Wings program who are upstate now, and we receive letters, you know, throughout the year as guys staying in touch. And for that one mistake, unfortunately, you know, they were given a life sentence. And that's why the Wings program is a course in decision-making. Like aviation, the captain has to make good decisions every step of the way on every flight. One bad decision could take an airplane down and hundreds could be killed. So we use a lot of aviation analogies, but in the Wings program, the art of making good decisions has to be embraced by our men because the consequences are very great. And hence we have God's laws who guide us and direct us to lining up, you know, to the right ways of thinking. But just want to remind our listeners, my friends, you're listening to Joe Montone, your host, here at Finding God in Prison and Holy Spirit Radio. We're talking with Shaquille, a graduate of the Wings program and truly a wingman who has lined up his life with what God says to do, and he's moving forward in the right direction. You're listening again to 1570 AM WISP. And 1420 AM WCOJ. And it is a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you once again, Friday, December 6th, 2019, in the Advent season, preparing for the Christmas season. Is truly, you know, Shaq, what it's all about this month, you know, making the most of this special moment, you know, where we all prepare for Christmas, you know, the birth of Christ, which is such a great event that's celebrated worldwide. And how are you preparing for the Christmas season today?
Well, as of right now, you know, I just took my mom shopping. I'm just preparing just to be around my beautiful daughter, man. I haven't been home with her in so long. I haven't for the whole weekend. I'm picking her up from school today, and we're going to go see a movie. We're going to do some painting, and I just want to do all the things that I was deprived of while I was incarcerated. One of the things that I wanted to touch on was what you said about aviation and how you have to make correct decisions because something catastrophic can happen in the event that you don't. There's a fellow by the name of Sean Davis, who I met upstate. He told me you have to make the decisions before the situation takes place. Because honestly, every decision we make in the moment was already made prior to that moment. So, like, when you say, okay, if something happens with my landing gear, I'm going to immediately pull back up and just circle around. That decision, you don't make it on the spot. You make it in advance. And that's what we need to do. We need to start asking ourselves questions and then making decisions before the event takes place. Therefore, it's like second nature. We don't have to really think about it. Because a lot of times when we make a decision, we rarely think because the decision is already made for us in our minds, subconsciously.
Exactly. And, you know, I love aviation. You know, I've been involved 41 years and more. And what I really enjoy doing is relaying a lot of the stories, you know, of success and tragedy, you know, to our men to help them to make better decisions, which is so key, and to success and reentry. One bad decision, you know, ends up with a violation of probation and a man is back inside within a week, you know, a month, a couple of months. But so in the WINGS program, we're up around 80% success rate because men are making better decisions. They are role-playing and talking about the consequences before they engage in getting in the wrong car or going to the wrong party or taking on the wrong kind of work. And so, you know, truly we're making an impact. And with your help, we're going to do even more. Shaq, we are about 60% through our program today. And do you have time to stay with us on the air?
Sure, why not?
Okay, all right. I want to shift gears right now, and I want to take you, my friends, our listeners, into, again, this is the Christmas season, and it's all about the birth of Christ. And if we look at the Gospel of Luke, truly in Luke chapter 1, we see the announcement of the birth of Jesus. And here it is. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, to the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God. Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. And this, again, my friends, is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, the Word of God, Shaq. And this is the beginning of the evolution of the birth of Jesus, how the angel, you know, how God sent an angel to bring her the peace and give her the vision. And Mary accepted the challenges she were to, see up ahead. She said, may it be done to me according to your word. And that's, you know, in essence, what we need to do as well, because, you know, we're all called to something for God. And Mary accepted the fact that she was going to be the mother of God. She was going to be a mother even without a husband. And it was troubling to understand it, but she accepted the word of God. And so with that, my friends, we want to just highlight again that the 8th, this Sunday, is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is a very, very powerful feast day. And also, I want to take us now into the birth of Jesus in chapter 2. And this is important because, again, we're preparing for the Christmas season, Shaq, and we see people trying to find Christmas in the shopping malls, at car dealerships. You know, we're trying to buy everything to bring happiness to people, and it's just not found there. You know, you can look for God in all the wrong places, and it can get away from us. You know, some people are shopaholics. We want to kind of keep it to a minimum and keep things simple so we don't lose sight of Jesus in the season, as, you know, the whole reason for Christmas is the birth of Christ. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yep. And so in chapter 2, the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to a firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born, for who is Messiah and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go then to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told to them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. So I just want to share that story of the announcement by the angel Gabriel and then the true birth of Christ and the creation of a holy family shack, a very powerful moment in time where God our Father sends our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, to us as a role model, truly, you know, for family life, the creation of a holy family, to help us to get it right, where every son and daughter will have a mother and a father by their side. How important is that, Jack, in the life of a child to have your father there, your mother there? You know, how important is that? Having grown up myself, if you remember my story, seeing my dad 3 times in 18 years, you know, it's so important to have, you know, family life secure as our kids are growing up and to feel safe in their homes. Does that make sense?
Listen, that's essential. That's like a necessity. I mean, especially, you know, growing up in the city, you know, if we lack that growing up, not having that support, I mean, it's nerve-wracking. Like, you really, as a youth, you really, really need that. You know, your parents are where you develop your morals, or where you develop your values. They're where you, you know, set things in order for you, and they get you, you know, into what you need to be and what you need to grow up into. So when you lack that, your only influence is, you know, outside of that, you know, TV, music, you know, people that you run into on the streets, your friends. So without that family, you know, mother, father, support there, then you, it's hard to really overcome and to make something of yourself, because you really have to undo all of the negative influences that took place in your life. And unless you come and encounter, what I'm coming to understand is unless you encounter something tragic within your life or come to like a crossroad, a crossroad, you rarely, you know, evolve in the sense of undoing all of the bad habits that you have taken on through the years. So family is very, very a necessity in youth's life.
Yeah, I appreciate those words. Very, very important. And, you know, family life is a great goal of the WINGS program. Yes, we want to be discharged and find work within 3 to 30 days and get transitional work and long-term employment and start a business. But, yes, we want to succeed in family life as well. And it requires great decisions each and every day to achieve that. You can't just go to Walmart or Macy's and buy a family. It takes years to create a family and to keep it moving in the right direction, those children and grandchildren. Very, very important and very difficult to undo some of the challenges that people have today and with their children. Very, very difficult to undo some of those consequences. Hence, we talk greatly about the lining up of men with what God says to do and what he says not to do. And one of the things, you know, he says to do is that a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife. He doesn't say a boy will leave. He says a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife. He says, husband, care for your wife as you care for your own body. And a great, you know, a piece of advice, you know, for all of us men out there who are married or who are looking to get married. And this should be one of the, you know, priorities in life. As you talked about early, just as you came on the show, getting your priorities straight. This is one of the, you know, key objectives in the WINGS program. And the reason is we have a lot of children out there who are really at a loss. They have a great void and growing up with a hole in their heart because they don't have, you know, the father and the mother. And I know because I grew up in the same way, and that's how the WINGS program was truly born, you know. And so we advocate, you know, that the family life mission, the goal, is a very high priority, above and beyond work itself in the list of priorities. And in any case, the Holy Family created with the birth of Jesus becomes the role model for family life, which is very, very important. And on that note, I want to ask you, Shaq, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have 4 sisters and 1 little brother.
Okay. And how about, do you have any children?
I have 1 7-year-old daughter.
Right. And what is her name?
What is my daughter's name?
Yes.
Her name is Janelle Jada Johnson.
Right. And Janelle, I remember meeting Janelle at Drexel University with your mom and your sister.
Right.
Yep, I remember. She was there a few times. And she's now 7 years old, like my grandson Dominic, who's now 7. And so the years just passed, you know, and we want to kind of be there to do everything we can to provide for our children. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense because they need to see it from somewhere, you know, and we have to make sure that they see it in a positive light. Because I had a friend of mine who didn't see it in his own life. And he had a daughter before I had my daughter. And he would always be around me. So he was around me more than he was his own daughter. I used to tell him, I said, bro, why you don't, you know, go see your daughter and stuff like that? He's like, oh, no, I just bought her a TV. I just got her a phone. I'm like, those things aren't, those things can't replace time, you know? Children need time to spend with their families, and you're not giving her that, you know? You receive it, but sometimes, you know, if you don't have a positive experience with that, then you're not setting up the younger generation to have the same issues when they get older. So they have to set an example. That's why parents is such a necessity for their child's life.
Exactly. You know, and that's the role model you want to put in front of them. You want to, you know, turn it around and show them, you know, positive, you know, actions and positive words each and every day so that they can emulate that.
Right.
And follow suit. You know, and you know, this is the Christmas season, so we just take a moment to pray all of the children out there who are struggling without parents or without, you know, having their parents there because they're incarcerated or with addiction,
right,
or maybe they're in the military and they're separated from their parents. And there's all kinds of ways to be separated, you know, and or maybe they've been, you know, deceased. But, you know, we just pray for those kids out there that the Lord will provide somebody, some, you know, great role model, and to deliver the love of God, the peace of God, not only during the Christmas season, but throughout the entire year. And that's, you know, another thing that we do in the Wings program. And ultimately, it's God our Father, truly, who is there for his children. And through our faith, Shaq, through our faith, we get to know the Lord, who introduces us to the Father's love. It's very powerful. The Lord says, you know, no one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
And with that, we have access to heal those wounds, that hole in the heart, which can be so great because of the absence of a father or a mother or both parties. And only God can heal that kind of wound. And I know because I lived it. And that's,
amen,
again, you know, which a story I love to share because so many of the men inside actually identify with that as they have, you know, been challenged to grow up without a dad. And does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I see it all the time. Listen, when I tell people that, you know, my father, I just talked to my dad, that's not a common, it's sad, but it's not a common thing because people either don't have relationships with their fathers, or their father, they never really knew him. So, like I told somebody that I was leaving, he said, oh, who's coming to pick you up? I said, my dad. And he's like, huh? I looked at him like, what you mean? He's like, bro, that's not like an everyday thing. Like, people don't got fathers, like, you know what I'm saying? So, and that, brother, and sometimes when you're not going through something or you don't, or didn't experience something, you don't see the other person's perspective, because I never really considered that. I said, wow, I know I never even thought about the fact that that's a thing. Like, that's so
Absolutely. And, you know, I was very fortunate to have my stepfather there for 12 years before he died. And of natural causes, he was a police officer in New York City and died in 1981, or 38 years ago. But like St. Joseph, you know, who was with Blessed Mother Mary, and when Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary, Joseph was provided to us by God, another part of his plan for salvation, to provide a foster father for Jesus, and which is a powerful thing. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have my dad, Dominic Montone, to be there for me from age 12 to 21. You know, actually, I had him for 9 years, excuse me, but it was very powerful 9 years in which, you know, it changed my life. And so, you know, but ultimately, finding that relationship with Christ, with Jesus Christ and the Father through the Holy Spirit, you know, through the intercession of Mary, our Blessed Mother, you know, we're able to, you know, move forward and to heal some of those wounds of the past, which are very, very great. And that's a key goal for us in the Wings program, to identify some of those wounds and to help our men to move forward, you know, from those wounds.
Right.
We had a guy in the Wings program who shared with us that he was raped by his father at age 11. And we were able to, you know, talk about it. And I said to him, I said, it's an awful thing. It's a terrible, terrible thing to be raped. And your father owes you an apology. But I said to him, you need to forgive your father, which is so difficult to do. But God calls us to forgive many times. And so with that, he said, you know, you're right, but it's just so difficult. I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write a letter to your father, forgiving your father, a letter from the heart. But I want you to extend an invitation to him to come and visit you. He hadn't seen him in 2 years, talked to him in 2 years, and he just came out of the Army, but, you know, made a mistake. He's inside now, and he was with us over at one of the facilities in Philadelphia. And so he wrote the letter, and he sent it to his father, and his father embraced it, and he thought about it. He came to visit his son. During the visit, he apologized, Shaq, to his son, who he had raped at age 11. He apologized, and they had, you know, an understanding of the past, an acceptance of the past, forgiveness. The apology was there, and with that, the two of them had a greater peace than ever before. And keep in mind, he was 11. He's now 24, and today he's probably about 27, but I just tell you that because we solved the problem for this young man. We helped to close the deal, bring closure the wound within his heart that his father had created due to that violent act, if you can imagine. And so that's one of the most beautiful things that I can share, is that with the Lord's help, we were able to bring good out of bad. And it changed his life to have closure to that. He's a man, 24 years old. And he wasn't able to put it behind him, because you can't sweep these things under the rug. You've got to talk about them and get to that level of forgiveness, or that level of apology, you know, that's offered with sincerity and honesty and love. And with that, you know, you can live a healthy and productive life again. You know, otherwise you move forward and even get married, but you have that problem that never goes away. And that's where Wings comes in. We try to take that problem-solving approach to each and everything we see, and to move forward so we have a clear mind to really achieve great things in our lives and for God himself. And, you know, Shaq, we only got about another minute and a half. I want to thank you for coming in with us today on this program and being a stand-up guy. And I ask you to make a commitment to coming on the air. You made the commitment, and here we are for your first show. I want to ask you if you would, wouldn't mind coming back on the air sometime. Would you do that for me?
I would love to.
Okay. I want you to, we only have another minute. I want to thank you again for coming on. I want you to give your mom and your sister and your daughter, Janelle, a big hug and wish them a Merry Christmas. phone. I said, God bless you. And to you, I wish you great success in reentry, and I hope that the Lord opens many doors for you and I to work together here in Philadelphia and across the river over in New Jersey. My friends, if you're out there listening, again, we're talking with Shaq here at Finding God in Prison Holy Spirit Radio. I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is Joe Montone, your host. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to be here back on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. I want to just take a moment to thank Frank for producing our show and for Dale and Jane for all the great work that they do here at Holy Spirit Radio. May God bless you and your families with the love of God, the peace of God, and may the joy of the Lord sustain within your heart throughout the holiday season. Have a great day, and God bless you. We'll see you next time here at Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, Shaq. Take care.
Lord, our God and King, His love and